You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027. This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, the pandemic has almost by accident given us a new lens to see some of the stark realities that have always been around us as South Africans. Just today, I was greeted by a man from Yeovil at my gate, his two young children strapped to his back, imploring me to help as the local church he usually seeks a small meal from has run out of resources. It's just magnifying the extreme poverty and inequality that we have glossed over for too long, I think, in South Africa. In his address announcing government's risk-adjusted approach to the lockdown, President Cyril Ramaphosa conceded that we simply cannot go back to the way we were. So what is the future? What might become of us through all of this? Now, someone who thinks quite deeply about this, certainly from a social justice perspective, is Thuli Madonsela, former public protector and current academic chair in social justice research at the Faculty of Law at Stellenbosch University. Professor, welcome. This is the million-dollar question, isn't it? From a perspective of social justice, how does one view the current pandemic and the various moral, philosophical questions that it's throwing up?
Good evening, Michael. Thank you for this privilege. Good evening to listeners. The coronavirus, COVID-19, poses a great threat to social justice. It has the potential to deepen existing social cleavages in terms of poverty and inequality, particularly in the health sector, the economy, and social life. What government did at the beginning, which it must be lauded for, was to equalize access to health. A deal was struck with private hospitals to make sure that if you are sick, affected by the virus, even if you don't have medical aid, you'll have access to hospitals. So that was done. But in responding to COVID-19, there's a risk of exacerbating poverty and inequality in that the policy responses are undifferentiated. We're treating Northern Cape the way we're treating housing, and everything has been closed down. And a lot of the sectors that were closed down are either mainly in the historically disadvantaged areas, or sectors where disadvantaged groups such as women and foreigners predominant, which means these groups will be further left behind.
And that is, it's the stark reality facing us as a country at the moment, that we further exacerbate the kinds of poverty that has for so long been just on our doorstep. Now, it boils down to leadership. It boils down to almost what we're seeing is a staggered leadership approach, where at the very senior most level, in terms of the president and the health minister, their leadership has been lauded, the way they've tried to create fertile ground for which collaboration can take place. And then underneath that, we're perhaps seeing that leadership ebb away, with some of the regulations seemingly irrational and the way they've been put forward. But I want to ask you what your thoughts are in particular on the way we've dealt with issues of dissenting voices, and dissenting voices here like Dr. Glenda Gray, who was really brought to book following her critique of the government. We had the health minister, I think, in a very diplomatic fashion, come out and in a statement rebut many of her concerns. But then a couple of days later, we've had what seems like a witch hunt. And ours is meant to be a representative and participatory democracy. It's all about accountability. How does suppressing dissenting voices such as that of Dr. Glenda Gray serve that lofty goal?
Yes, suppressing dissenting voices is unfortunate. It is a catch-22 situation, though, in that our success in combating coronavirus, COVID-19, depends on us becoming a united front against COVID-19. You need a nation and government on one side and COVID-19 on the other side. Government should not be our enemy. We should not be government's enemy. Together with government, we should be having the coronavirus, COVID-19, as our enemy. The dissenting voices, such as Dr. Glenda Gray, are a symptom of some of the mishandling of the leadership part of our response to the coronavirus, COVID-19. You mentioned accurately that in some respects the president has been conciliatory, inclusive, and collaborative. And he was like that at the beginning. And in the last few days, in preparing for alert level 3, he did the same thing. But this ad hoc way of inclusiveness is not anticipated in the ad. The ad crafted by wise people who understood where we had been as a democracy and how unilateral action was not only divisive, but it also allowed too many blind spots. The ad wanted these experts to be part of the process throughout. So there's an advisory committee in terms of Section 5. There's an intergovernmental committee in terms of Section 4. So that means the consultation of this group is not ad hoc.
Mm.
But having said that, I did say it's a page 24. I don't know if Dr. Glenda had written to them, to the president, before lambasting them, and I don't know how she was involved. So I would have said to her before lambasting them, perhaps just as a leadership team, engage them. But a response to her should not be the one of closing her down, because we need dissenting voices to be made aware of our blind spots.
And I think that is the role of leadership. What kind of leadership fosters the ideal here of a participatory democratic governance that yields the kind of outcomes that we all want to see? And I had the pleasure of speaking to the South Korean ambassador, Dr. Jongdae Park, twice over the last week, just to get some lessons on how South Korea managed its societal transformation. And one of the key issues in South Korea that Dr. Park mentioned is accountability. It's a society that is heavily based on economic pragmatism, developing its human capital stock, and accountability. What kind of leadership fosters that kind of participatory, accountable democracy that we so aspire to?
You need confident leadership. And that's something that I mentioned in the article I wrote for News 24, where I mentioned a book written by Harvard professor Roosevelt Moss-Kanter, who talks about the kind of leader who's confident and generates confidence is one who is able to operate collaboratively, who is open and accountable. You see, when you're not confident, it's difficult to be accountable, because you take every criticism as a suggestion that you're inadequate. I think one of the positive attributes of the president is that he's able to understand that criticism is not personal. We all have points of view, and often hidden in that criticism are pearls of wisdom. But some members of his cabinet are struggling with accepting criticism as a positive thing. And I think they'll have to do that. Instead of, for example, lambasting the critic, call the critic to come on board and talk to them. A few days ago, I watched this series, what is it called? The Crown. Some journalist lambast Queen Elizabeth in her early days about, you know, her style and her lack of charisma, all sorts of things. And of course, other people would have wanted to close down that journalist and never speak to him again. She invites him to the palace and ask him what exactly is wrong with the way I do business, and can you make suggestions? So that's confident leadership, and it's collaborative. It's semi-egalitarian, even though it's decisive, but it has a level of collaborative, of egalitarianism, and more than anything else, it's transparent and accountable.
And it's certainly what we have in the current administration and the president, which is why he, I think, still scores so highly on many opinion poll ratings that are conducted of the president. And why, as J.P. Luntman said in his note earlier today, he found it quite curious that some would peddle a theory or a narrative that he is on very shaky ground inside the party. I think he's still one of the most popular leaders in the country. Prof, I'm going to have to leave it there, I'm afraid. Thank you for sharing your insights. Tuli Madonsela, former public protector and academic chair in social justice research at the Faculty of Law at Stellenbosch University, wading into some of the leadership lessons we can learn out of the pandemic so far.